Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Now that old hound dog is an awful pest. He barks so much I get no rest. Homely as an old mud fence. That old hound dog just got no sense. Oh, doggy, you're gonna get your lumps. Oh, doggy, you're gonna get some bumps. Oh, doggy, the doo dee dee doo da, doggy. That dog just can't take it.
Hello and welcome to Tooncast Beyond. This is the Animation Direction Spotlight, and up next in Animation Direction, we're going to be talking about Robert McKimson. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike. Joining me is TV's Mr. Neil.
Gal reminds me of the highway between Fort Worth and Dallas. No curves.
I remember when you and I were going through making up the people for the list that we were going to do for this spotlight, and you're like, I don't know how long of a podcast we can get through with McKimson, but he's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think what it is that of the five major ones, he's the least special. And although he starts out well, as the years go on, his cartoons, they kind of lose their edge. And I don't like how he draws some of the characters, or I should say how he directs his animation staff to draw the characters. Like, he always draws Bugs with like little beady eyes and a big mouth, and I don't really like that version of Bugs. And I don't like his Daffy that much. Daffy in his, I don't know if he's a jerk or if he's just kind of, I don't know. He's not the lovable jerk that he is in the hands of other directors. I'll say that. And I think the only real claim to fame he has is the farmhouse characters, you know, the foghorn and the dog. And I don't know if that dog ever had a name, but
no, I just think it was, you know, that old dog. I mean the farm characters, I mean, Walkie Talkie Hockey, everybody remembers that one.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the reasons why I didn't know this at the time, and this image will be in the post. I actually posted this about 2 or 3 years ago on Facebook, I believe. Some of the Looney Tunes, because I have a number of the Bugs Bunny episodes, because I have seasons 1 through 3 on iTunes, so I have a lot of them, and I always knew what Easter eggs was, but I never really looked at it up close. You know, it's like you watch the cartoon and, you know, you see it's, you know, Bugs has to, you know, do the Easter Bunny's job that year because the Easter Bunny, let's just say it plain as day, he's a lazy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he even says it at the end of the episode. I always get some unassuming rabbit to do my work for me so I don't have to. The Easter Bunny in Easter Yeggs is essentially Al Bundy without the lust in his loins. And I never really looked at it up close until a couple of years ago. And when he gets to the criminal house and the kid's like, I want an Easter egg, I want an Easter egg, I want an Easter egg. When we first see the kid, he is sucking on the barrel of a pistol. He is sucking on the barrel of a gun. Everyone makes, you know, a big deal about how the Looney Tunes cartoons and the old cartoons, you know, have a lot of racist jokes in them.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one thing out of all of the Looney Tunes cartoons that I've seen that I absolutely loathe about them. I understand that these guys, these directors and writers and producers were making them for themselves at the time, because I believe Chuck Jones and a few others have said that they were making them for themselves. They weren't making them for kids. But still, I mean, like, you know, we live in an age, or at least, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we lived in an age where, you know, hey, well, actually, close to 20, oh God, 20 or so years ago, you know, we live in an age where, you know, Tiny Toon Adventures, and I know you hate that show, but Tiny Toon Adventures actually says, hey, look, we have to watch the, you know, we have to make sure we're all right for the censors. I mean, it says it in the very first episode, you know, when Buster gets created, all right, how about some clothes for the censors, you know, and I'm wondering where the hell the censors were, you know, in in Easter Yeggs in 1947. That's what I'm wondering. Because, I mean, Hollywood was bustling by 47. So, as much as I like Easter Yeggs, that was just one thing that just... It doesn't ruin my enjoyment, but when I saw it, it was like, oh my God, how can they have done this and not gotten in trouble?
See, that's the one gag I laughed at the hardest. Because sometimes it's just funny that some cartoons get away with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like every now and then a Cartoon Network cartoon would get away with something. Like one of the Dial M for Monkey cartoons had a guy named Huntor, and he very openly announced that he was going to fire his heat-seeking moisture missile at the monkey. And I'm like, I can't believe, not only can I not believe that he just said that, but I can't believe this is a rerun and they keep showing this. And last I checked it, that cartoon is still not banned. Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah,
that's crazy.
You know, I want to say that Looney Tunes were always this violent and had all sorts of like gags of this vein, like,
mm-hmm.
But I can't really think of a specific time that a weapon of this kind was so casually displayed. Maybe I know that Bugs has had a gun pointed at his head like countless number of times, but still.
Yeah, but there's a difference. Okay, I am not sitting here condoning violence, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm just here to tell you there's a difference between Yosemite Sam pointing a gun at someone's head, whether it's Bugs or whomever. There's a difference between that and a little child, even if he is a villain.
A little child doing a Bud Dwyer impersonation.
Yeah, sucking on the barrel of a gun. I mean, like I said, the image will be in the post so you can see it, but it just... I just grow speechless. I really, really do. My two favorite McKimson shorts, my two favorite McKimson Looney Tunes cartoons are, I can't think of the name of it, and I'm not looking at the page right now. It's the one with Pete Puma and the little rabbit kid.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I can't think of the name of that. Rabbitkin, maybe? Rabbitskin? I think that's what it is. I could be wrong. I'll have to look it up.
That actor is still alive.
Wait, the one that did the
Pete Puma.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, he reprised that role for Tiny Toons. He was in Tiny Toons as Pete Puma.
I love Pete Puma. I really do. He is... I don't know what it was, but I remember I remember mimicking him as a child. No, not that. The kind of donkey call he does. Yeah. I remember mimicking that as a child. I used to love Pete Puma, but what I love about this cartoon is that you have this little kid, and this is why I will to this day say that Buster Bunny is Bugs Bunny's son, is because of shit like this that's pulled in the old days. You've got this little kid who is, you know, running from Pete Puma, and, you know, he's seeing Bugs be all wacky and everything else, and, you know, he wants to get in on the act, and it's just so hilarious, you know, and the Lumps gag. I mean, how can you not love the Lumps gag? Oh, God.
It's a joke you can see coming a mile away, and yet you can't help but laugh at it.
Mm-hmm.
And another episode I was talking about how they were experimenting with playback speeds, and that little bunny, I don't remember the name of that bunny, but wow, was that sped up. I mean, no one talks that fast.
No, not even Speedy talks that fast.
No.
But I liked it. It made it different. It, you know, I'm sure, you know, Mel had, you know, done it in a normal voice or some sort of rabbit voice. And, you know, in them speeding it up that fast. What was cool about that cartoon is Bugs actually follows along. You know, because essentially that cartoon is a ripoff of Little Red Riding Hood.
More or less.
Kind of. I mean, it's, I'm not saying that in a bad way or anything. Yeah, Big Apples. Just dumb kids sucking on a 38 revolver. I found the image on Facebook. But, I mean... So I like that one, and the other one is, and I still haven't been able to find it online, A Ham in a Roll. You remember this one?
A Ham in a Roll.
It's a Goofy Gophers cartoon.
Oh, yes.
And it's the one where it's the dog, and he's, you know, cartoons, you know, I'm through with low comedy, and he walks off the thing, ends up in a barrel of water, and, you know, gurgling, he's like, I shall write my resignation to Mr. Warner, and in the quiets of my country house, I shall study the immortal bard, and he falls through a hole, gophers, I shall not allow gophers to impede my progress, and he starts coming out with all this Shakespeare stuff, and at the time, you know, I just... That is by far my favorite Goofy Gophers cartoon.
I love how they're just so polite to each other, and they're so well, they're so well spoken, and they are the meanest little shits.
Yes, yes, they are.
My favorite McKimson cartoon is probably the one where I don't remember the name, but it's the one where Porky Pig is hunting a groundhog, and he's got this dumb dog, and like. The dog seeks him out, and the groundhog starts shaming him. He's like, snitch, stool pigeon, you should be ashamed of yourself. And the dog starts crying and starts feeling guilty. And then later they bring that joke back where Porky's scolding the dog, and the groundhog starts whispering into his ear, and he starts doing the whole snitch and stool pigeon thing all over again. That is my favorite McKimson cartoon.
I mean, he really did do a lot with, you know, like you said, the farm animals. I mean, how can you not love Foghorn Leghorn?
Oh, he's a great character.
He's such a great, I mean, him and the dog, and then you add in Henry Hawk later. I love the one where he's like, at the end of it, he's like, there's Foghorn, there's the dog, and then there's the horse. At the end of it, Henry's like, I swear, one of these things is a chicken. Oh, God. Do you remember the one where Daffy is... I don't think that was a McKimson one, though. Daffy was pretending to be a rooster to win some money. It's a Henry Hawk cartoon, but I don't think it was...
I don't remember.
I don't think it was McKimson. And I'm looking here for Ham and a Roll, and it just isn't... I don't know. Maybe I passed it. McKimson's style is interesting. I think he is... I mean, I know you said you don't like the way that he draws some of the characters, and or the way he has his people draw some of the characters and stuff. And I don't know. I look at a lot of the... like when he does Bugs and Daffy, I look at it as, okay, they've progressed beyond what Clampett did with them. But they're not quite what Chuck did with them. So they're kind of in a middle ground holding pattern, whatever you want to call it. But I mean, his Oh, Lord. 1961, What's My Lion? It's open season for hunting, and Rocky the Mountain Lion takes refuge from gunfire by sneaking into a cabin owned by Elmer Fudd. Elmer doesn't realize Rocky is posing as one of the stuffed lions.
That one is... I think that's one of the few where Arthur Q. Bryan is not playing...
Elmer?
Elmer, because he had died by that point, but...
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was, though. But it's kind of weird to watch that one because of...
Hal Smith was Elmer in that one.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mel Blanc was Rocky the Mountain Lion and the Delivery Boy.
Yeah. And, in fact, Mel Blanc refused to do the voice of
the Mountain Lion.
Elmer Fudd, yeah.
Yeah, because...
Hunk-eyed.
In out of respect for Arthur. But I mean, McKimson, you know, he's done some really interesting stuff. Let's see here. Bonanza Bunny. That was another Bugs one that he did, I believe.
Yeah.
Bugs fights with Black Jack Shellac over Klondike Gold. I remember this one. I loved this one. Anytime Bugs came up against Black Jack Shellac or anytime Daffy came up against Nasty Canasta, oh, God, so hilarious. And Mel did such amazing voice work for the villain characters outside of Yosemite.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, are there any other McKimson ones that you really like?
I remember Stupor Duck being kind of funny. Obviously, it was a take on the old Fleischer Superman cartoons. I right down to the opening of the cartoon, which is almost identical. And the whole cartoon is Daffy's running around trying to stop the fictional Aardvark Ratnik from causing havoc and mayhem. And he's usually just screwing up other people's jobs. Like there's like some demolition crew that's going to blow up a bridge or something. And he thinks it's like some arch villain, and he goes to stop them and gets his clock cleaned for it. Or no, it was the demolition of a building. He saves the building after it was going to be demolished.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets beat up by the construction worker. So yeah, that was a pretty funny one. I know there were a few others. I'm just not thinking of them though.
Yeah, Stupor Duck is one of the ones that Boomerang shows all the time and every day. Like they show it at least twice a week because they show. As I said earlier in the spotlight, Looney Tunes airs on Boomerang. 2 a.m. Eastern and 12 noon Eastern, 7 days a week. And they just kind of rearrange and repackage and, you know, mix them up. I've seen Stupor Duck this last year probably over 20 times on TV. Mm-hmm. And the coolest thing about that cartoon, I don't know, do we know what year that was made?
I was trying to look for it here. 1956.
Okay, because Mel was still doing stuff then, wasn't he?
Yeah, but it also had Dawes Butler in the cartoon, and I think Dawes was uncredited.
Yeah, because I swear that that Daffy doesn't sound right.
Daffy definitely is Mel Blanc in that cartoon. It's every other character, I think, in the cartoon is Dawes Butler.
Yeah, except for the narrator.
Yeah, it says here the narrator is also Dawes Butler.
It sounds like little Ravenscroft to me. Was he gone by? Did he pass away before this? Or
no, Thurl Ravenscroft. He died recently.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Either late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, see, I've seen this one a lot of times, and I swear that it's Thurl Ravenscroft doing the voice. I probably am wrong, but...
Because Thurl is Tony. Tony the Tiger. He has a very distinctive low voice.
Well, right, and... Yeah, I don't know. I really have to go back and watch it and look, because I always thought it was him. Mainly probably from his Grinch narration, most likely, is why I thought it was him.
Right.
Well,
he didn't narrate the Grinch. He sang the songs. The narrator was... Right. Oh, God, I'm blanking on the guy's voice. People are going to be sending me hate mail for it.
Oh, wow. But I just, even though I like Stupor Duck and I think it's a really cool cartoon, it's a nice, you know, poke at Fleischer, I just don't know what was going on with Mel and Daffy in that one, because it sounded like he's doing more of this, and it's not like... It sounded like they only sped him up halfway than what he normally is sped up to. It just... I don't know. It just doesn't sound...
I don't know. It sounded okay to me. The thing is, I first saw Stupor Duck at the beginning of one of the compilation movies. It was Daffy Duck's Fantastic Island. Mm-hmm. And in that cartoon, Stupor Duck is noticeably a higher pitch than the rest of the cartoon. Like, you get Stupor Duck Daffy, and then it goes back to... You know, the new animation, and suddenly Daffy has a lower voice, and that's kind of what I was talking about in the other episodes. How they forgot to speed up Mel in the later recordings.
Right.
But you know, people have to listen to it, judge for themselves, because I think Daffy sounds perfectly normal in that cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I found a now. This is I was looking for. Like, a lot of the directors, before they died, have given interviews to people. And I was looking for one with McKimson. And I found a transcript of one that someone did with him. I believe his name is Dave Barrier. Did with him in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long-ass article. It's a long-ass transcript of an interview. But it's a wonderful read about, you know, how he approached his animation and, his writing people and, you know, talking about various cartoons and talking about the other directors. It's a great read. I'll link it in the show notes here as well.
I wonder if that's the same Dave Barry who was a humor columnist, because that guy's funny. Probably is.
I couldn't tell you, honestly. I'm not sure. McKimson, he was one of the few that hung on at Warner's for the longest time. He was there after Chuck left. He was there after most everybody left.
And he was an animator on a lot of the earliest cartoons, so he was there a long time.
Mm-hmm. You know, he then went to DePatie Freleng.
Mm-hmm.
After that, directed several of the Inspector shorts, worked on some of the Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies, contracted out to DePatie Freleng by Warner Brothers
and
in 67.
You can definitely tell it's him.
Mm-hmm. Was McKimson the only one that went back in 68 when they reopened the studio?
Probably.
Shut down again in 69. His last Warner Brothers cartoons was Engine Trouble with Cool Cat. Engine Trouble was only the last of the original Looney Tunes or Merry Melodies cartoon to be produced before the Warner Brothers cartoon studio was closed.
A lot of people are like, who the hell's Cool Cat? You really don't want to know. Because Cool Cat, he's basically another version of the Pink Panther, except that he talks and he's not very funny.
So what you're saying is he's not very cool.
No.
In 72, he went back to DePatie Freleng to direct, as you said, the Pink Panther show shorts. With the Pink Panther, we've talked about that a few times, or at least when we did Frizz. We talked about that a little bit. I never noticed that, like, you can clearly tell a Chuck Jones Bugs Bunny cartoon from a Clampett, from an Avery, from a Freeling, from a McKimson. The Pink Panther cartoons, just the Pink Panther himself, his cartoons, I could never tell the difference, and I never paid attention to the credits on those.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's great that he, you know, went back there and did more of that. And this is probably, I don't know, but we do have to talk about this, but this is probably one of the sadder ways to go. Like, I think the one other sad thing that happened to a voice actor was when George Hanlon basically died in studio. I remember Andrea Romano saying to, it might have been Kevin Smith, or she said it somewhere to somebody in an interview, that she, you know, saw George Jetson pass away in front of her eyes. But McKimson died September 29th, 1977, from a massive heart attack while eating lunch with Freeling and DePatie.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's not. A few days earlier, he was given a clean bill of health during a physical, and his doctor suggested his family history, his father lived to be 100, would allow him to live many more years. So
that must have been some sandwich.
In the interview I mentioned, he has two brothers, or had two brothers, Charles McKimson, the younger, and Tom McKimson, the older, who also worked as animators. Charles is frequently part of McKimson's unit at Warner Brothers. That was always interesting to me, seeing that, you know, you have two brothers working in the same unit for Warner's. But McKimson cartoons, you really gotta love them. I mean, not all of them are great, but not all of them are god awful either. You know, he did some interesting things with Bugs Bunny and Daffy and Elmer and that kind of stuff.
He revived the Tasmanian Devil.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
All but one of them were directed by him.
That's in that interview I was talking about earlier, because the guy asked him about Taz, and one of the studio heads said, "Oh, well, this, you know, why isn't this character being used? Oh, well, this person said not." Well, forget what he's saying. I'm telling you, go do it. And
yeah,
and went, did, you know.
It was someone who told Frizz, they're like, don't use that character again. And I guess that whoever said that had moved on and wasn't at the studio anymore, so they're like, please make more of these.
Yep. I mean, I love Taz. I really do. I think it's so great nowadays that we still have Taz. Kind of.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the voice actors these days can imitate anybody, but honestly, God, I almost blanked on his name. Jim Cummings at Oz Taz. Jim Cummings as Taz is like Mel is raised from the grave.
It is a great resuscitation character. I think the Tasmanian Devil is the one character from the old Looney Tunes that has had the best success at making a comeback post Mel Blanc. Mm-hmm. Tasmania was such a brilliant cartoon.
Oh my god, I love that show.
Oh my god, that just the fact that his father was Bing Crosby, it's like blah blah yakety smackety.
Yep, it was so awesome. Overall, I love McKimson's cartoons. I cannot stop watching A Ham and a Roll. Honestly, like, you need to find that and watch it and let me know if you think it is as funny as I think it is, because... Go ahead.
It's been a while since I've seen it, I know that.
It is so damn funny, at least to me, because this dog is basically... He's basically pulling a Porky from You Ought to Be in Pictures. He's leaving the studio, which no one even really notices that he leaves, honestly. He leaves the studio, goes to his country house, and he starts quoting every single famous Shakespeare scene throughout the rest of the cartoon. And as that's going on, the Goofy Gophers are screwing with him. At one point, in the cartoon, he goes to sleep, and he sees the pages of the book, you know, being blown up because the Goofy Gophers are in hollowed out pages in a book that he's holding. And as they're snoring, their breathing is blowing the pages up. And he's like, gophers. He slams the book and throws it out the window. It's just, oh, God. I just love that cartoon so much. There's a cheese gag at the point where he says, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. And they drop a whole chunk of Limburger on him. it's just so hilarious. All right. I think we are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the closing of the show after this.
All right, sister, out with it. Let's have it. Now what? I say, what's the big idea bashing me on the noggin with a rolling pin? I know just what you're gonna say. You're looking for a husband.
Yes.
Well, you're going about it all wrong, girlie. You don't bat him on the bean with a rolling pin. That comes later.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
Now, who's responsible for this unwarranted attack on my person? Aha! Of course, you know, this means war.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
I'm a chicken. Rooster, that is.
Don't give me that. You're not a chicken.
What am I then, boy?
You're a loudmouth schnook.
Look ahead, son. I'm no loudmouth schnook. This is a dog, not a chicken. Chickens don't look like dogs. Who told you this was a chicken, son? Nice boy, but doesn't listen to a word you say.
Now for a behind-the-scenes look at Geekcast Radio Network's newest show, Talking in Circles.
So, Chuck, Greg, what are you guys thinking for this week's show?
Well, Dan, how about we just talk about the things that we've read or watched this week?
We do reviews like that every week, Chuck. How about a game, like Fact or Fiction, or The Power of Names?
Those are great, and we're always coming up with new ideas for games. And how about some top fives? You know how I love my top fives.
What about tournament-style brackets, or sequel, reboot, and destroy? Who will win in a fight? Taking too far? Crazy but true news, or...
Yes, it appears we have lots of things to work on.
Listen to Talking in Circles, taking timeless topics in new directions, every Tuesday on iTunes or GeekCastRadio.com, the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey Dan, who's the guy with the creepy voice?
Nice girl, but about as sharp as a sack of wet mice.
All right, folks, we are back here on Tooncast Beyond's Animation Direction Spotlight, talking about Bob McKimson. It just so good. I believe he did this one, but I saw this one today where it's old Foggy and old Dog, where they're old people. Mm. And then there's the two young like their grand, supposed to be their grandsons, a very young rooster and a very young dog, and they talk about times where Foggy made the dog's tongue green and painted it green and that kind of stuff. And I love that kind of stuff from McKimson. It's just absolutely amazing. Any final thoughts from you, sir?
I don't really have any, no.
All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking about one of the guys who pretty much put Charlie Brown on the map, even though he had a whole lot of rocks.
And I...
Mister, go ahead.
Bill Melendez, but mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think he was an animator at Warner Brothers, so that's kind of his connection to all this.
Yep. Bill Melendez pretty much had Charles Schulz's dreams in his hands, creating the Peanuts specials and shorts and all that stuff in the movies, and it's going to be really interesting talking about him. And then after that, we've got the Fleischers, the week after this one coming up, and then Walter Lantz. And then I think we're going to do... Like I was saying last time, I think we're going to do a spotlight on Mel. Oh, God, I would love to interview his son. I would love to interview Noel. That would be amazing. All right. You got anything you want to pimp out?
Just that I have new comics coming up for DASIEN.com, DASIEN.com. I'll be updating throughout October and part of November, and then I have a holiday special in December.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond. There are so ways to get in contact with us. Leave feedback before the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all the other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. We actually did get an iTunes review recently. I think it was in September.
Yeah,
I believe it's not very flattering. And I have when people write iTunes reviews for any of the GCRM podcasts, I wish they would tell us in the review like what episodes they listen to. But this says it's from someone named Stefager. It was done on September 15th, 2014. The title of it is Stay Away, Sexist and Boring, One-Star Review.
Oh.
These hosts are uninspiring, always unprepared, often sexist, and have nothing new, interesting, or informative to say about the films, plus super unfunny. All I wanted was a funny podcast that talked about cartoons and animation, but they always sound embarrassed to admit they saw the movie. Skip it. So
what?
He's talking... Yeah, that's what he says. He's talking about films and movies, so I'm assuming this person, if it's a he or a she or whatever, I don't know, maybe it's a cousin it, who knows. Maybe they're still stuck in the DreamWorks era of the show, maybe they're stuck in season two of Toon Cast.
I was gonna say, you got the wrong podcast, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. and admitting that, you know, someone, you know, that, let's say, for example, admitting that Red Riding Hood is hot, at least in the Droopy cartoons, is not sexist.
No.
Not at all, in the least.
there are some people who are just like, any jokes or comments about sex at all is sexist. Mm-hmm. It's like, how repressed are you? Get over yourself.
Yes, exactly. All right, so you can leave us feedback on iTunes. Thank you very much for anyone who's left us feedback, constructive or otherwise. You can call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Be sure to leave your name and the show you're leaving the message for, as well as there is a 5-minute time limit. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also follow at DASIEN Comic over there and Neil's Classic Gaming for all his gaming stuff. What little there is. Let's see. On Twitter, it's at Geekcast Radio. I am at TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Neil Sama.
Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond's Animation Direction Spotlight. Stay tuned for the next one.
Let's bury the hatch. I say, let's bury the hatchet, but not in anyone's head, boy. But hatchet, head. But that's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep, I say, you gotta keep on your toes. But toes, that is. But the fast ones get right by you. Keep your ears open. But yappity, yappity, yep. I can't get a word in edgeways. Talk, talk, talk. But no wonder you're not sharp. You gotta always, I say, you gotta always listen. Shut up.